Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You are unmuted.
Is now open. You may be seated.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I call the case?
Please.
For the record, before the court is Commonwealth versus Karen Reed, 22 CR 117. The parties are present. The jury is not present. The matter is on for trial. If the parties could please identify themselves for the record.
Good morning, Your Honor. Laura McLaughlin.
Good morning, Ms. McLaughlin.
Adam Malik from Commonwealth. Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning, Mr. Lally.
Good morning, Your Honor. Hank Brennan for the Commonwealth. Good
morning, Mr. Brennan.
Good morning, Your Honor. Robert Alessi from Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Alessi.
Good morning, Your Honor. David Giannetti from Karen Reed.
Good morning, Mr. Giannetti, and good morning, Ms. Reed. All right, so Mr. Giannetti and Mr. Alessi, you're standing in also for Mr. Jackson and Ms. Little?
We are.
Okay. All right, so first thing we left off yesterday was whether KKKK for identification, the PowerPoint of Dr. Rentschler would be entered into evidence. It will not be based on the objection, so it is excluded from evidence. So it's marked still for identification, and your rights are saved on that. So are we ready to go forward with the charge conference?
Yes, Your Honor. I guess I have a question first as to whether the court would like to entertain the argument on the motion for the required finding not guilty of the evidence.
So, no, we can do that now. So now that my ruling is on this, evidence is closed. Evidence is closed as it was yesterday. So go ahead on your required finding argument. Sure.
And this is not lengthy, Judge, 5 or 10 minutes.
Take your time.
Thank you. We are renewing our motion for required finding of not guilty at the close of all the evidence. And in so doing, Your Honor, we're incorporating our oral argument in support of this motion that we made at the close of the Commonwealth case. At that juncture, Your Honor, the Commonwealth had produced no witnesses to testify that John O'Keefe's injuries were consistent with his having been hit by a motor vehicle, and if he was not hit by a motor vehicle, none of these three indictments may stand. The Commonwealth, we believe, at that time fell woefully short of proving their case. Now that the defense has put on a case, the Commonwealth's case has been further weakened, such that none of these charges can stand. Nearly every witness, Your Honor, we have called, we would submit, has destroyed the Commonwealth's theory of the case. Dr. Russell testified for the defense. She's a leading expert on dog bite wound pattern recognition in the country, and she testified about medical injury causation and provided the jury with her expert opinion that John O'Keefe's injuries were consistent with dog-inflicted wounds, both bites and scratches. I would remind the court at this juncture that there was a dog at the very residence where John O'Keefe was found, a dog which was a longtime member of the family, which the family gave away after John O'Keefe's death, a dog which mysteriously was absent from the home at 6:30 in the morning on January 29th when Jennifer McCabe claimed that she burst into Brian Albert's bedroom where the dog always slept, a dog which was absent from the home when the Canton police entered the home later that morning. Importantly, Dr. Russell agreed with the Commonwealth's medical examiner, Dr. Scordibello, that John O'Keefe suffered no injuries that were consistent with having been in a motor vehicle collision. And again, if there's no collision, there's no case. Dr. Loposada, one of the most experienced and accomplished forensic pathologists you could find anywhere, agreed with Dr. Russell that John O'Keefe's injuries were consistent with an animal attack. And she agreed with both Dr. Russell and the Commonwealth's expert, Dr. Scordibello, that John O'Keefe was not hit by a motor vehicle. So the question is, in what type of murder case would a judge ever allow a motion for required finding of not guilty? In a murder case where expert testimony on both sides is that the evidence is inconsistent completely with the Commonwealth's theory of the case, that's exactly what we have here. But it doesn't stop there. Both witnesses from ARCA drove a stake through the heart of the Commonwealth's case. Dr. Wolf concluded that the damage to Ms. Reed's Lexus was inconsistent with having come from a collision with John O'Keefe. Unlike Dr. Welcher, who created, we would submit, a meaningless experiment based on no scientific method, Dr. Welcher actually did the proper force analysis and concluded that Ms. Reed's Lexus was not damaged by the body or the arm of John O'Keefe. His testimony was unimpacted by cross-examination, and it's devastating to the Commonwealth's case. Dr. Rentschler further cemented that there was no collision between the Lexus and John O'Keefe. It is simply not possible that this 6,000-pound SUV hit John O'Keefe at 24 miles an hour and caused only superficial wounds to his right arm with no injuries to his legs or lower body. The SUV did not hit him. John O'Keefe was not hit by the SUV. The case is over. But on top of all that scientific evidence, Your Honor, there were three additional fact witnesses who testified for the defense who corroborated that the Commonwealth's theory of the case is false. Sergeant Nicholas Barros, a sworn police officer, testified that when he saw Ms. Reed's SUV that day, before it was towed to the Canton Police Sallyport, the taillight was merely cracked. When he was shown photos of what it looked like in the Sallyport after Michael Proctor had access to it, Sergeant Barros confirmed that it was absolutely different. Karina Kolakithis confirmed that there were no problems between Karen and John O'Keefe that night, even remarking on just how sweet he kissed her on the forehead shortly before they left the waterfall. But perhaps more importantly, that kiss happened right in front of Brian Higgins, the same Brian Higgins who had been flirting with Karen Reed that month, the same Brian Higgins whom Karen had ghosted for several days before January 28th, the same Brian Higgins who had texted Karen that very night, well, and received no response, the same Brian Higgins whom Karen had given her back to all night, the same Brian Higgins who had to be restrained at the end of the night by Chris Albert on video, the same Brian Albert who is on video, hot, angry.
Brian Higgins, you just said Albert, you mean Higgins, right?
I meant Higgins, yes. Yeah, the same Brian Higgins. who is on video hot, angry, and gesturing to John O'Keefe to meet him outside shortly before they left the waterfall and shortly before John O'Keefe was killed. And finally, Brian Loughran, plowing Fairview Road at 2:45 in the morning, was attentive, watching everything in front of him, very familiar with the Alberts residence, and had every reason to protect the Albert family. You recall that he did protect the Albert family to a degree that night by choosing not to follow protocol and call the DPW or the police about the Ford Edge parked on the street outside their property during a snow emergency. Brian Loughran confirmed that John O'Keefe was not on the front lawn at the Albert residence at 2:45 a.m. That means that Karen did not hit him. There was no collision. All the experts agree on that, including the Commonwealth's expert, and the only eyewitness that morning confirms it. Taking the evidence in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth at this juncture, with their evidence weakened by an airtight defense to these charges, these indictments cannot stand, and we urge this court to enter required findings of not guilty on all three indictments.
Thank you, Your Honor. Commonwealth requests that the defendant's motion for acquired finding not guilty at this juncture, as it was at the close of the Commonwealth's case, be denied. The state of the evidence is not dramatically changed since the Commonwealth rested its case in chief. Counsel makes reference to dog or canine. I would remind the court that there is absolutely no evidence, none. Not even a scintilla of evidence of a dog. There is no evidence of an absence of a dog. You have Ms. McCabe testifying that she didn't see it in the morning, which does not equate to there being an absence of a dog there. The arguments from counsel of the Commonwealth would suggest grossly exaggerates the strength of the defense witnesses in their case. The bias and advocacy exhibited by those witnesses from that witness stand do not amount to credible witness testimony that undermined the Commonwealth's case in any way, shape, or form. A couple of specific examples: when it came to Officer Barros, his testimony was also that the cruiser camera footage from 8:22 in the morning at the driveway at One Meadows Ave, he indicated the damage to the taillight was consistent with the damage that he observed in the driveway at the defendant's parents' home, which was then consistent from the video or the photographs within the Sallyport. It's also consistent with 5:07 a.m. at One Meadows Ave on the still frame shots from that Ring camera video. Essentially, the Commonwealth would submit that the defense witnesses all conflict with each other. You have a couple witnesses testifying about dog or animal bites. Then you have the ARCA witnesses testifying about superficial abrasions. You have Dr. LaPosada talking about the drop in body temperature, which conflicts with Mr. Loughran's testimony as far as his confusion, as far as the hours of when he sees or claims to have driven by there and not seen a body. This is the same witness who is, I would submit, very confused on times, and then also backed into a basketball hoop during the course of his plow duties on that particular early morning as well. And as the court could see from the cruiser camera video, drove by the scene countless times, essentially rubbernecking it as he's going past doing his duties. Your Honor, what the Commonwealth would submit is that his case was more than sufficiently strong at the close of the evidence in his case in chief. There has been nothing presented in the defendant's case to diminish, particularly to the standard in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth, and we request that the defendant's motion be denied.
So, Mr. Yannetti, you know I have to view this in the light most favorable to the Commonwealth.
I do, Your Honor.
And viewing it that way, the Commonwealth has met its burden, so the motion's denied.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, so regarding the charge, so we'll start with the defendant's missing witness request. Who's arguing that motion?
We're not arguing that, Your Honor, and I apologize, but we made the decision last night to withdraw two of our requested instructions, which would shorten things today, as we said.
Oh, okay, so everything on this is done, right? The defendant's motion to present a missing witness argument and request for instruction, you're withdrawing that?
With regard to the absent witness instruction, we're withdrawing that request.
Okay. And what else from your proposed instructions? You said there were two. What's the second one?
The second one is that there's an entry on our request for lost or destroyed evidence. We're withdrawing that.
Okay. I had a question about that. Yes. All right. Thank you.
There is a supplemental instruction that we're asking the court to give regarding the display of the sweatshirt.
Oh, that's right. I saw it on email. I don't have a hard copy of it.
That's Mr. Leslie.
Your Honor, if it's helpful to Your Honor, I'll hand up my hard copy.
Okay, if you could do that, I'd like to go back through the rest of it and come back to that after I've read it, okay? Who's arguing for the rest of the defendant's proposed instructions?
I am, Your Honor.
Okay, so we're going to go through them one at a time. Who's arguing for the Commonwealth?
I am.
Okay, so I think you're sort of in agreement on the basis of the law, right?
Yes.
All right, so model homicide instructions and just as last time. So that takes a lot of time out of today.
The only thing I would draw the court's attention, the Commonwealth does have a request for, and I understand that the court's position might be on this, but as far as the instruction related to murder charge, Commonwealth is only seeking an instruction on third prong.
All right, so we will deal with that. I'm going to go through the defendant's instructions or sort of the general instructions first, so it's probably easier to go through those, and then we'll have the argument on that. So presumption of innocence, I think my presumption of innocence is a little more robust than what you've requested, so I will probably... Okay. And I will give some version... I know that there was a lot of attention paid and some appellate decisions on the each individual indictment. I'll give some further language on that. You've got an instruction, a proposed on page 4, reaching a verdict. Just, I will make it crystal clear, though. I think it was, and I was upheld on it, so I will make it crystal clear. Okay. So I'll give you that, Ms. Giannetti. This, what is evidence? I probably won't give verbatim what you have. I'll take a look at it, but I will certainly cover all these topics. So, Ms. Giannetti, you're telling me that your client wants me to give a defendant did not testify instruction?
Yes, please, Your Honor.
Again, if you want to take a look at what I gave last year, I think it's a little more robust than this.
I think we answered satisfied with the court's instructions on that, so we would be satisfied again with the court's language.
Okay. Humane practice, I will give. I will give you Bowden. I'm going to take a look, size this up with what I gave last year. I gave Bowden last year. I gave a Bowden instruction. I don't think the Commonwealth objects, right?
We would object to the instruction.
Okay. Go ahead. Do you want to make an argument?
Just briefly, Your Honor. When it comes to the Bowden, and I would incorporate, and I know there's no request for instruction, third-party culprit, but the Commonwealth would be making a similar request that counsel be prohibited from making a third-party culprit or Bowden argument.
Or Bowden? You don't think the defense should be allowed to make a Bowden to argue Bowden?
So I would submit, Your Honor, that the entirety of any testimony or evidence related to either Bowden or third party culprit in this trial has come from questions from defense, not from actual evidence in the case, not from testimony from witnesses from the stand, exhibits that have been put into evidence, or anything of the like. So in the instruction and arguments are based or predicated in the case law on evidence, not in. Obviously, as the court is well aware, there is a specific instruction that no matter how powerful they are, questions to counsel are not evidence. So what the Commonwealth would submit is if the court looks at what is actually in evidence in this case, there is no basis whatsoever for not only a Bowden or a third-party instruction, but specifically for even counsel to make that argument during the course of the closing. And I understand Bowden is a little bit more loose as far as the court certainly...
So I'm going to ask Ms. Giannetti to explain to me... All right, so I disagree with you on Bowden, but I'll take a closer look at it. Ms. Giannetti, what is the... Bowden evidence that warrants an instruction?
I think it's multifaceted, Your Honor. The police did not secure the crime scene properly. They used inadequate material to pack the evidence. Chain of custody was contaminated and corrupted. There was evidence of the bias, the lead investigator, failure to pursue the suspects, specifically telling his friends that the homeowner was sacrosanct because he's a Boston cop too. There was just a focus on Ms. Reed to the exclusion of everybody else. It was not an open-ended investigation. From day one, it was focused on one person and one person only. And just responding briefly to Mr. Lally's comments about how being introduced affirmative evidence of the proper way to do an investigation. We tried, Your Honor, we made a motion and renewed it, asking for reconsideration of the court's ruling that Mike Easter could not testify about an investigation. So to say that we didn't introduce that evidence when we tried to do it, we
I think what Mr. Lally was saying, that you asked questions but weren't given answers. And so I think that's what was said. Mr. Iannetti, I'm going to allow you to argue Bowden, and I am going to give an instruction. So third-party culprit's an entirely different animal here. I know. But tell me, are you going to argue it? Is the defense going to argue that Brian Higgins did this?
No, we're going to argue that the police failed to investigate whether Brian Higgins did.
Okay, so just so that it's clear, that you all know, I believe, third-party culprit separately is a lot different than third-party culprit as it goes to Bowden. I ruled pre-trial that there could be no attempt at introducing third-party culprit evidence regarding Colin Albert.
Correct.
So that was separate. But I did say that I would give you the opportunity to try and develop testimony regarding Brian Higgins and Brian Albert as third-party culprits. That threshold that you need to make to do that, to argue them as three-party culprits, has not been made by the defense. So you cannot argue that either Brian Higgins or Brian Albert committed or had the motive and all of that. Not third-party culprit, pure third-party culprit. You understand that? It sounds like you're telling me you don't intend to do that.
We understand the distinction, Your Honor, and we're strictly going with a Bowden defense.
Okay, so you can get into third-party culprit with Brian Higgins, that the police were aware of whatever you're going to argue and failed to act on it. But it's strictly for that purpose, okay? Okay.
And that's really what I was seeking, just clarification.
Yeah. So Mr. Iannetti, and of course I take him at his word, tells me that they're not going to do pure third-party culprit. Okay, that's great. That makes that easier. So I will give... Sure, go ahead.
Just while we're on page 8, I just wanted to comment that that's an objection to the Batista instruction that's at the top of page 8.
Yeah, I have a check mark next to that. Mr. Iannetti, tell me about this, the absence of a recording. Are you saying that the police should have recorded Ms. Reed at her parents' house?
Right. So, obviously it's not the strongest D.G. Batista argument that we would have. It did not occur at a police station. But, these days, Your Honor, it's common knowledge that everybody has access to a recorder, even on their own cell phone. It could have been done. It wasn't done. We have to rely on police memory of what my client said or didn't say when there was a possibility for a recording. So we still think we're entitled to be.
Do you think it was custodial interrogation? Or I guess I should say, do you think the evidence supports?
I think there's an argument that it was a custodial interrogation. We had police officers who refused to sit down in the living room. They were surrounding her. Someone who was not familiar with dealing with the police at all. So yes, I think there's an argument that it could be considered custodial.
All right, what do you say about all this, Mr. Lally?
I would also add, Your Honor,
sure.
They did seize her vehicle at around the same time. So It goes definitely to the issue of custody and my client being able to deny it.
Right. What do you say?
That's the very nature of the objection, Your Honor, is the non-custodial nature of this. So the troopers spoke to Ms. Reed at her parents' house, as they did with a number of different witnesses on that day as well, for a course of that day. They spoke to her while she was seated on the couch in her parents' living room. The parents were present. No one was restricted from being. And it did not end in any sort of custodial situation. She was taken into custody. She wasn't arrested. Yes, they did seize her cell phone and her vehicle based on the information that they had developed throughout the course of the day and from the statements from Ms. Reed herself. But I don't think that transforms that conversation or interview in her parents' living room into a custodial interrogation. The bigger issue that I have placement, as far as there's already been within the same request for jury instructions or request for humane practice, and then following the DEG and Batista language in the defendant's request for jury instructions, there goes on to all of this other requests regarding her compromised mental state and all of these other things that, while if it were to be given by the court, should be given in the same context of the humane practice. I don't think it's something that should be highlighted in the two different sections. And I would submit that there is no evidence of her having a compromised mental state or anything to that effect. She exercised her judgment as far as when she was speaking with Sergeant Buchanan and have his testimony from the stand, that initially she said she wanted to be fine with answering questions, but didn't want to get into any details. And when the questions became centered on, or more centered on details, at that point, and I know that's not evidence before the jury, but of course, well, where is she then ended the questioning at that point? So I don't think there's any evidence of her having a compromised mental state during the course of this interview, and I don't think that arises to the level of the DEG's instruction. So I would ask basically that everything on page 8 prior to the role of the instruction be excised.
All right. I'll take another look at this, and I'll just let you know in the morning.
And, Your Honor, with regard to the compromised mental state, we agree that that would not apply to the interview at your residence. But we believe that it applies within the humane practice context.
That is where it makes sense. So, all right.
It's going to happen. It should happen once, not.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Request.
Okay. All right. Prior statements, I will give some instruction on prior inconsistent, and I'll give a prior consistent statement. I will talk about the view. The absent witness instruction is withdrawn. So is the...
Not to interrupt. That's okay. With regard to the view, Your Honor, we did include a language reinforcing the fact that the rock that they saw on the view was not present on January 29th. We asked the court to repeat that one sentence.
Okay. So I did not see this when I took a quick look at the view. All right. I'm not going to repeat it. All right. Lost or destroyed evidence you're withdrawing.
Yes.
Direct and indirect evidence. I'm going to try and give a shorter instruction on that. So I will, the one I gave is too long. I'm trying to cut down the time the jury needs to hear general instructions that I think they're perfectly capable of hearing in a shorter period of time. All right, thank you. Credibility, the same. Law enforcement witness, I think I gave some instruction on that. I'll include that somewhere in it.
If I might just in reference to that,
sure.
Only language in there that I would object to.
Okay.
That's what a police officer or someone else who works for a law enforcement agency.
What do you mean by that?
I think that was taken into account for the dispatcher, perhaps. We're not.
I'll do police officer because they're police testimony. I'm not going to go beyond that.
I think that might.
Okay, thank you. I'll do the photographs, the opinion testimony, notes. I'm not saying I'm giving exactly this, but I will give, I'll cover all those topics.
I
what page are you on? Okay.
One suggestion there was indicates now the Commonwealth has introduced photographs and evidence.
Yeah, I'm just going to say there are photographs that are in evidence. Was that the nature of your objection?
I actually think that the facts is introduced more graphic.
Yeah, so I would just say you've seen photographs. Or there were photographs in evidence. I instructed twice anyway, maybe three times on it, so I'll give some version of that. Juror notes, I'll give some version. The implicit bias instruction, I'm going to give exactly what the SJC told me I should give. All right, so the Commonwealth's requests are sort of in the, you start with the law and then you get into the general instructions, Mr. Lally, so let's skip to your, it's not numbered, your supplemental instructions, use of a dangerous weapon.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to give that, Ms. Giannetti. I gave a dangerous weapon instruction last year on the motor vehicle.
Understood.
All right, so I'll give probably what I gave last year, and this looks like it's it. What is not evidence, evaluating, I'm going to give what is not evidence, evaluating the evidence, there's some instruction. Ms. Giannetti, what do you think about the short instruction on jurors? Sort of makes sense to me after such a long trial. No juror is better qualified to determine the truth of the facts in controversy or to deliberate upon a verdict than any other juror, or solely because of that, not or, solely because of that juror's occupation, education, experience, or any other characteristic.
Okay.
Thank you. Charts and summaries, I'll talk a little bit about chalks. And inferences, I will give some. I'll give the redacted exhibits instruction. Witness preparation for trial. Do you both want this? There was testimony on both sides. It's simply, there was testimony at trial that the attorneys, and I may say if you find or something, preface it. Witnesses when, the attorneys interviewed witnesses when preparing for and during the course of the trial.
No objection.
You may not draw any unfavorable inferences solely from that fact. There is nothing improper about conducting such interviews. On the contrary, the attorneys are obligated to prepare their case as thoroughly as possible and may interview witnesses. I don't know if there's a sequestration order, if this is appropriate, though, where it says during trial, during the course of the trial. I'll just say when preparing for trial.
We're joining in the request. I don't know that we included that in our instructions, but we're joining in the Commonwealth's request for that instruction.
All right.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.